Good morning.
Yep.
It's on. I've got a confession to make. It's not one of those, like, confessional type confessions. It's a confession of growing old. Yeah. And all those, and all, turn up your hearing aids. It's a confession of growing older. This last couple weeks, I had a midlife crisis. For those of you who know me, I'm past the midway point in my life. So I procrastinated. However, well, if I'm at the midpoint of my life, that would put me at 94. That would be a really, really long life. Not necessarily a bad thing. However, it was a midlife crisis. That midlife crisis struck when I realized, again, that I'm mortal. You're like, where does that come from? Well, as you sit and drink your coffee, and you're just meandering and mulling over things, look at your house or where you live, you're like, that will be mine someday when my mom, when my mother passes. Okay, so it's going to pass to me. Wait a minute, I've got no kids. Okay, so I'm going to have a place to live the rest of my life. Who am I going to pass this on to? I've got a good job. I've got a pension, a retirement plan. Okay, I'll do okay in my retirement. Hopefully, Lord willing. However, that money I have, where's it going to go? I've got an aunt and uncle who, by most of our standards, would be considered wealthy, if not rich, and chances are I'll get some of their money when they die. They are old. They're actually in their late 80s. So chances are I'm going to get something from them because they have no children. So this whole idea started mulling over in my head. And it's like, I'm middle-aged. I'm mortal. I've got nobody to pass this on to. And if you guys were here, I believe it was 3 weeks ago, for the call to worship, I read Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanity, says the teacher, all is vanity. I had mentioned then that Ecclesiastes has been one of my favorite books throughout my life. That may tell you how morbid I am. In general. And then I kept reading. In chapter 2, starting in verse 16, says, for there is no enduring remembrance of the wise or of fools, seeing that in the days to come, all will have been long forgotten. How can the wise die just like fools? So I hated life, because what is done under the sun was grievous to me, for all is vanity and a chasing after wind. I hated all my toil in which I had toiled under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to those who come after me. And who knows whether they will be wise or foolish, yet they will be the master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned and gave my heart up to despair concerning all the toil of my labors under the sun, because sometimes one who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave it all to be enjoyed by another who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What do mortals get from all the toil and strain with which they toil under the sun? For all their days are full of pain and their work is a vexation. Even at night, their minds do not rest. This also is vanity. In case you didn't catch that, that kind of keeps that cycle of angst going. Then I read Psalms. Normally, joyful, joyous Psalms. Great is the Lord. Psalm 49. Hear this, all you peoples. Give ear, all the inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom. The meditation of my heart shall be understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will solve my riddle to the music of the harp. Why should I fear in times of trouble when the iniquity of my prosecutor surrounds me? Those who trust in their wealth and boast of the abundance of their riches, Truly, no ransom avails one's life. There's no price one can give to God for it. For the ransom of life is costly and can never suffice, that one should live on forever and never see the grave. When we look at the wise, they die. Fool and dolt perish together and leave their wealth to others. Their graves are their homes forever, their dwelling places to all generations. Though they named lands their own, mortals cannot abide in their pomp. They are like the animals that perish. Keep that verse in mind. Mortals cannot abide in their pomp. They are like the animals that perish. Such is the fate of the foolhardy, the end of those who are pleased with their lot. Like sheep, they are appointed for Sheol. Death shall be their shepherd. Straight to the grave they descend, and their form shall waste away. Sheol shall be their home. But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. Do not be afraid when some become rich, for the wealth of their houses increases. For when they die, they will carry nothing away. Their wealth will not go down after them. Though in their lifetime they count themselves happy, for you're praised when you do well for yourself. They will go to the company of their ancestors, who will never again see the light. Mortals cannot abide in their pomp. They are like the animals that perish. I know this sounds like a very happy, joyful message. Believe me, it does turn around. However, this is what was going through my head. This is a peek into my brain. So I'm sitting there going, okay, some of this stuff I've worked for or will have worked for and earned. Some of it was given to me, some will be inherited, and I get to pass it on to nobody. So I started thinking in those terms. I'm like, what is all this stuff about? Because like most of you, I want to have an impact. I want to pass something on to somebody. Okay. Now I'm starting to think in terms of legacy here. Legacy gets bandied about quite often in our society. It's huge in the sports world. For those of you guys who follow sports, do you know who Babe Ruth was? Yes, he had a legacy. He was a home run hitter, the greatest for many, many years. However, there have been people who have passed him since he stopped playing baseball. Is he the greatest home run hitter in the history? No, but if I say home runs, automatically, people's minds go to Babe Ruth because it's a name that's associated with that and that greatness. I talk about hockey, and automatically, there's somebody that comes to mind, most of your minds. It'd be Wayne Gretzky. He's called the Great One. Okay, the guy's records probably, at this point, will never be surpassed. I mean, they're just so unbelievably high, and the game has changed. Some of you guys, when you hear the word legacy, you might think of politicians or musicians or scientists, people who have discovered cures, people who have discovered different things in science, people who have ruled nations or the world at the time. Think of the Roman Empire, Queen Victoria. Sun never set on the English Empire at that time. Literally, anywhere in the world, the Union Jack was flying somewhere under the sun. So there are legacies. The thing is in society today, and I am absolutely guilty of this, when I hear the term legacy, I think of a singular moment or a singular accomplishment. I go, oh my gosh, that person was great. Oh my gosh, that person was rich. Think back 150 years. Carnegie, Mellon, Vanderbilt. Richest people in the country, yeah? They owned, quite literally, almost owned the entire country. They're the robber barons. Move forward a little bit more, and you get the Rockefellers. You get the Kennedys. Now you start mixing not only money, but money and political power. Move forward to today, you get the Warren Buffetts and Bill Gates. Unbelievably rich. Not to say they haven't worked for it, because they absolutely have. Some of it was probably given to them. Most of it was not. They actually earned a lot of it. But when you think of legacies and you think of big accomplishments and things that people elevate other people for, these are some of the names that come to mind most often. People I've talked to, you say legacy. So if I ask you, legacy, in the next 30 seconds, you could probably name 10 to 15, maybe 20, maybe even more. If I give you 5 minutes, you could come up with 100, easy. If I give you a half hour, you'd be in the thousands, because you just start listing off people that you've heard. Why have you heard of them? Because they did something. Okay? So there is a legacy of sorts just because you're associated with someone or something or a specific time. So I do like sports, in case you didn't notice. And by the way, many of you have given me very, very odd looks this morning because I am wearing this jersey. Normally, I'm in suspenders, shirt, and tie. By the way, I do have my suspenders on under here. I still have to hold the pants up. It's a good thing. This will come into bearing shortly. In Western society, particularly our society, we've lost a lot of what we call oral tradition. We've got the printing press, thanks to some people way back when. And so we've got books. So now we can write stuff and we can look it up. Fast forward to today, you don't even have to go to a library to look stuff up. You guys, well, all of you, have a phone that you go, oh, okay, that's what that is. I don't. But you guys can look that up on your cell phones or at home on your computer or wherever on a computer, the library, oddly enough. But you have access to look up different people, different things, and different information. So what we have a tendency to do is we look at that information and we go, oh, what about the greatest guitar player in history? There's a list of 20 of them, or 100 of them, or whatever. And you start going through and you go, oh yeah, that guy was really good. Never heard of that guy. Maybe I'll look at his music. Oh, this person was really good. This person was really good. It's very accessible and very easy to get. Before, back in the old days, before any of us were born, many generations before we were born, it was primarily oral tradition. People would pass it down through the family. Not only what their family or clan or peoples did, their nation did, but the history of how they interacted with it. What happened because of where they were or where their peoples were in history at that time. So you would be able to go back through your lineage and or a nation's lineage and find out all these different things. You guys have heard the term, those who don't understand history are destined to repeat it. Very true. Thing is all of us have always been able to see history or know of history, and yet we still repeat it. It's part of our brokenness. It's part of our humanness. So the old groups used to have the oral traditions. They'd be able to hear all the good things that these people did, all the bad things they did, and learn from those things. You're going, I don't want to be like that king. I don't want to be like that family member. I really want to be like them. I really want to be like them. There were legacies that were passed on through those families, through those oral traditions. We get to the era of printing presses, and great things start getting put on paper. Then people can study those great things and go, oh, look, this person did this. Thing is when you condense a lifetime into a blurb on a piece of paper that is that big, you're really only condensing an entire lifetime. You're just saying, this is what this person did that we're going to remember them for. You're not really enveloping the entirety of who they are. Now, as materials and printing presses, blah, 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 have gotten more common, etc. People study more. They put more or larger histories together. So you start to understand the context of what they did more often. So, has anybody here ever heard of Eddie Aikau? Eddie Aikau? Good. Paul, who is Eddie Aikau? He's a surfer. Jeff, who is Eddie Aikau?
He's famous for, there's a saying, Eddie would go.
Yes. In case you guys have never seen that, bumper sticker is very famous back in the 80s and carried through in the 90s and even 2000s. What was it that it said?
Eddie would go.
Do you know why Eddie would go? Tell me.
So there was this expedition that was planned. A group of people built this rudimentary sailboat, and they were going to travel to Fiji on it. Is that where they were going?
They were going across the South Pacific. Mm-hmm.
And against many odds, he was able to be one of the people that got to be part of this expedition.
Mm-hmm.
And I think after like a day or a couple of days, a storm came, and they were adrift. And he brought his surfboard with him, and he said, "Hey, I'm gonna paddle back and try to get help."
Mm-hmm.
And the other people stayed on the boat, and they were rescued, but Eddie was lost at sea. They never found him again.
Yep.
So he gave up his life to save people.
Yes. Eddie Aikau. Eddie would go. There's a surf contest named for him. Thing is, the surf contest won't even go until the waves start at 30 feet. Huge. North Shore of Oahu. It goes years without happening. Then all of a sudden, one year, it happens because the waves come in. Invitation only. If you get the invite, doesn't matter where in the world you are, you go. Why? Because, one, it's a great contest, but the real reason is because Eddie would go. Now, Eddie was a surfer, but Eddie was more than a surfer. Eddie was a waterman. He spent his life in the water as a waterman, saving people's lives. That was who he was. Yes, he surfed. But his point, his purpose, was to be a lifeguard and save people who got into bad situations. Those who knew him actually seemed to put surfing as a secondary part of who he was. Yes, that was part of who he was, but he was a waterman. So when he winds up in the situation that Jeff just mentioned, what does he do? He says, "I've got the ability to paddle to land in order to help you guys. So I'm going to do that." And he jumped in with his board and paddled, never to be seen again. That was who he was. So a lot of times we take somebody's life and we condense it and condense it and condense it till it winds up as a bumper sticker. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, because it's also a trigger for memory. If you know the story, you remember who he is. You understand what he did. So Eddie would go. It makes sense. This jersey right here. You guys read the name on the back? Cogliano, Andrew Cogliano. He plays for the Ducks. He was drafted out of Michigan University, or University of Michigan, to the Edmonton Oilers. Since he entered the league as a professional hockey player, he's not missed a game. You guys go, "Okay, that's kind of cool, whatever." Right now, that's how many games he has played without missing. That is a lot. That is huge. Hockey is a very, very physical sport. It takes a lot of dedication, a lot of preparation. It's a mentally fatiguing sport as well, but it is a physical sport that is unbelievably difficult. Since his very first game in the National Hockey League, he's played 736 consecutive games without missing one. He is still a couple hundred away from being that number one, but tomorrow, should he play, he will tie somebody, Jay Bomeister, or Bomeister, for fifth place. That, in and of itself, is an accomplishment. A lot of people go, oh my gosh, I really like that. That's, the guy's an Ironman. In fact, he's called the current Ironman of the NHL. And should he ever make it to the top, he will be considered the Ironman. That's a great thing. That's a great accomplishment. And that's probably, if he makes it there, that is probably what he will be remembered for. However, the reason I like this jersey and the reason I like Andrew Cogliano, which is why I put his name on the back of this jersey, is because of the daily grind. He knows who he is. He knows what his role is for the team, for the league. And while the accomplishment or the potential accomplishment of playing so many games in a row will be a great thing, he's out there doing his job day in, day out. His teammates speak highly of him, not just of his play on the ice, but everything else that goes into it around the game. Because he prepares mentally, physically, he eats right, he stretches, stays in shape, works out like a fiend during the summer. So that allows him to do this and continue through with the ability to actually play all these games in a row. Now, I'm not going to say it's a bad thing if he reaches that goal and people remember him for that, but what I'm remembering for is the consistency of daily life, what he's putting into it to do his sport. Now, for us, chances are none of us will ever wind up in the annals of human history, like written down. It's just not likely. Because even if you go through, and I gave you that half hour to write down all those names that you could come up with, we're talking 1,000 plus names that you could easily come up with. Now, think about how many billions of people have been on this earth since the beginning of time. Your recall for those 1,000 names, 2,000 names, is such a minute percentage of the billions of legacies that are already left. So while doing great things, it is nice, and it does bring your name to mind to many people, realize because we're probably not going to have that kind of impact where 200 years from now, people are going to be going, Paul Stepner, Mike Hendren, Danny Shea, Mark Counts. It's probably not going to happen. However, within our own spheres, we can absolutely have lasting legacies. We can impact those we are in community with, those we are in community with in our homes, as friends, as other family come in, like even during the holidays they come in, or you visit them, you're interacting and creating that legacy of who you are. I say I was thinking in terms of mortality, and I think what really triggered it was I had actually gone to a funeral about 7 months ago. Gentleman died, obviously. It's kind of why you go to funerals. And this guy, I knew throughout my childhood. I probably met him, I was a little bit older than you. Maybe 7 or 8 when I met him. Okay? I'm now 47, so I know him for about 40 years. Not consistently, not real well at the time. I mean, I was a little kid. I mean, what does a little kid have in common with a 40 or 30 or 40 year old? Not a lot. But I got to see him. He was a member of the same church I went to. And I saw him when he was back, because he was actually a missionary for many years down in Colombia. He translated for Wycliffe. So they would come back, he and his family would come back up. They would give their missionary speeches, as is pretty common, and trying to raise funds and telling you what they've done and blah, blah, blah. And they'd be on furlough for 3 months or 6 months or whatever it was, and they'd go back to Colombia. And then they'd come back and do the same thing, go back to Colombia, come back. Finally, they came back to stay back. Got to know the kids a little bit better, their daughter and their son. Got to know him a little bit more, but he's still an adult. I'm a teenager at this point, going, I don't have things in common with this adult. But I still saw him, saw what he was doing, saw what he did, what his life was like. Okay. Lost contact, mainly when I came to this church. I was a late teenager. Okay. Still obviously knew who he was. Then about 13, 14 years ago, Mike Marsh put together a fishing trip. Okay, cool. I'll go on that. So I went on the fishing trip with Mike Marsh, and it was for our church. A bunch of the men went out fishing. And this gentleman, who was an avid fisherman, which I did know about, came with us. This was when I was getting ready to move to Hawaii. So we're talking out on the deck of the boat and just chatting away. And he's like, so what's going on in your life? Well, I'm moving. I'm going away. I'm moving to Hawaii. And I was not going as a missionary. I was going in support of some people who were over there, but I was going to get out of Orange County. That was the real reason I was leaving. And anybody who asked, I told them that. It's like, I'm not going for missional stuff. I'm not going for church. I will support the people there. But I'm going because I'm sick of Orange County. I want to get out of this race, and I just want out. So I told him that. He looks at me. He's like, you carry the Spirit of the Lord with you wherever you go. You're right. And it wasn't as in, dang. It was, yep. Though I'm not going as a missionary, I am still a missionary. Though I'm not going to minister, I am still a minister. Though I am not going, or though I'm going in support of those who are already there, I'm still a Christian. So what I take with me, being the Lord, is what's involved. And all it took was that short conversation with him to bring all those truths home in a way that I hadn't even thought about. There are ways I kind of understood and thought I kind of got already, but I hadn't really solidified that in my own head. And it's like, okay. So, go to Hawaii, live there for 4 years, come back for 9 years at that point, and knew that he was in bad health. I'm like, okay, pray for him, pray for the family. And then he died. It's like, okay. It was right, and it was a good time. It was a blessing to see him be able to go to be with the Lord. I was actually excited for him because that's who he was. It's like, yeah, I'm here, and I'm going to do everything I can for Jesus now. But man, I don't want to be here. I want to be there. I get it. Okay. So I went to the funeral, memorial service. And what struck me was all the different people that got up and spoke. His son, his daughter, his grandchildren, a couple of the grandkids. But then they had the open mic that you guys have probably experienced at a number of memorial services or funerals. And consistently, every single person was, he opens his mouth and Jesus falls out. He opens his mouth and Jesus falls out. He talked about Jesus. He talked about, and everything was so kingdom oriented, so Christ-centered consistently. And he was a renowned painter. Like, he sold his paintings for great sums of money. Did people mention his art? Nope. They mentioned Jesus across the board. So I was sitting there thinking, mulling mortality, obviously. And it's like, what do I want my legacy to be? I want to have that kind of impact on people. I want people to say it was about Jesus. I want people to say he was consistent in his walk with Christ. He was consistent in the everyday application of this. There's no one great thing specifically that stands out. I want it to be an encompassing view and legacy of it was a lifetime built on this. When you start thinking of people who have done great things throughout the, again, annals of human history, it's not a bad thing to remember and know those people and know those things that they did, to learn from them, whether the things they did were good or bad, because you can learn from both. When you start considering your own legacies and what you want to be remembered for and how you live your life, the legacy that we're really looking for is the one that when we leave this earth and we get to meet our Maker, it's the one I want to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's the legacy I want left because of what I did here when I get there. We can remember things that people have done, and that's a great thing. You can remember your family, your parents, whoever has come before you. What are you going to take with that and create in this life that actually will be brought with you into the next? Because as I read here, obviously the riches ain't going to happen. Where was it? The wise and the fool. When we look to the wise, they die. The fool and the dolt together, they leave their wealth to others. Their names are written in the annals of history. They're dead. They're still gone. So what do we really want to take with us when we do move? We want that well done, good and faithful servant, because that is the lasting legacy. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you that you've created us and that you've called us. We appreciate the fact that you minister to us and give us good things. It makes it funner. Lord, we still want to be right. We want to be consistent. We want to leave a legacy here that you look and go, well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, I want that faithful part. I really want that faithful part. Lord, I ask that you would grant us the insight and that you grant us the wisdom to pursue that, to do the things that you call us to do, and that you would grant us the influence you would want us to have in order to accomplish the things you want done and the lives affected that you want affected. Lord, we lift these things up to you. I lift these people up to you, myself included, in your Son's name. Amen.